Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But the man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers.
This morning, before we even get started, I want to read a scripture today. Just opening with this, we're going to get here in just a few moments, but not a slide on this one yet, guys. Just listening to this, what it says about the Spirit of God. Last week, we emphasized how we're growing in the image of God, becoming more like Christ. And today, we're focusing on growing in the Spirit of God. How many of you are relying on the Holy Spirit in your life? We need the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, 14 through 16 just says this: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Aren't you thankful for God's Spirit changing your identity into a child of God? Amen, everybody. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Well, here we go, guys. I want to begin this morning with a little bit of a story. It's an unusual little story that's found in the book of Judges in a little obscure area, often overlooked, but it has to do with the person that God would call to be the very first judge of Israel. His name was Othniel. Othniel, the judge of Israel. Now, at the conclusion, the very end of the conquest of Canaan, you know that story, guys. When the Israelites took over the promised land, Bible says there were five nations, pagan nations of people still living in the land. Now, the Bible says that God allowed this. And if you're familiar with the story, you know they were called to do battle and to overcome all of the pagan nations living in the promised land there in Canaan. And so the Bible says, though, at the end, when they began to take over, there were five nations left. And the word explains that this was so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war and how to rely on God and trust Him through battles. God allowed those five nations to last. And these were the five lords of the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Sidonianites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And at that time, Israel did what they usually do when they go back and forth between serving God and trusting God and then serving the false gods. Instead of defending God's name against these enemies, the Bible says they began instead to assimilate into life right alongside them. And the word says that they began to take their daughters and marry them and take and give their own daughters to the enemy's sons to marry them. And the Bible says at that time, they even began to go back and serve the false gods of the pagan nations. One of the main problems Israel always has with these pagan nations in your word is they serve the false gods, and these were false gods that had physical idols that were seen with the eye. But how many realize us today and the Lord in which we serve, He requires us to have faith. Israel went back and forth because when they were tried and tested and tempted, they chose to serve a God they could see with philosophies and ideals in those cultures that appealed to the flesh. But guys, God requires faith. And when they were tempted, it was too easy to fall into serving a God they could see rather than the one true God who we know is unseen. Amen. Verse 7 of chapter 3 says that they, watch this, they forgot about the Lord their God and began to serve the Baals and worshiping at the Asherah poles. Amazing to me. And the Bible goes on to explain something. It said that the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, hot against them. They became so vulnerable to the power of their enemy nations around them that they were assimilating and mixing and mingling with, that the word says that a king, the king of Mesopotamia, Cushan-Rishathaim, overtook Israel and enslaved them for 8 years. 8 years. Notice their tendency was to accept the Lord and love and serve him until it got hard and until the culture came against them, and then they would mix and mingle with the false gods around their nation. And in this moment, the king of Mesopotamia enslaved them for 8 years. But God had a plan to get them back. God had a plan. Scripture says this. Scripture says in verse 10, it says, the Spirit of the Lord. Everybody say that. Come on, say the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel, who was the younger brother of Caleb. Watch closely on this. Now, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel, the Bible explains that he rose up in great courage and he went to war with Cushan-Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia. And the result was he defeated Mesopotamia and he brought Israel back. They turned to the Lord, and the result was they had peace and rest with God for the next 40 years. Praise God. Now, there are many dozens of examples throughout the Bible of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon people. I just chose this one because it was a little bit of an obscure story that maybe you've not heard before. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon this young man, and he went to war, and he defeated the enemy, and the result was God gave them peace and rest for 40 years. I said all that to say this. We live in a time right now when the world around us is pushing and it is fighting hard. The world is fighting hard to oppress real truth. It's pushing and fighting hard to undermine the family. It's pushing and fighting very hard to redefine what is decent in society. To really drag humanity down into accepting the most vile, the most perverted depths of moral decline and depravity. How many of y'all realize I'm right about it right now? Even this month, people are celebrating the most vile and perverted thing you can think of. Pride Month. Have y'all seen this on culture in the news? We live in a time when the options are clear. The world is teaching people depravity. And here's why I'm telling you, I'm leading off with this morning. Church, it just might be this morning. It just might be. Think about it. It just might be that God is about to cause his Spirit to come upon some people. It just might be that God's about to cause his Spirit to come upon some people to step up in courage and begin to take their families back. Begin to take their schools back. It just might be that God's Spirit's going to come upon some people for the purpose of taking decency back and anointing you with the appointment and the authority to establish his word as the standard of life in your home and everywhere you step. My prayer this morning for myself is this: Lord, let it be me. Let it be us. Come on, church. Let it be us that the Lord finds faithful and shine down on us and pour your Spirit upon us and use us in mighty ways. And that means, church, that so really I can't think of a better time to make sure that we are planted and growing in the Spirit of God. Because listen, the moral climate in our day cannot be ignored. It cannot be brushed under the rug. It's real. How many realize it's real? And it's affecting people and families. And now more than ever, when our neighbors in the adjacent county are hosting grooming parties by drag queens in the public library, And you are painted as the bad guy for not supporting it. We better have more going on the inside than just an idea of who God is to us. We better be equipped with a relationship with the Spirit of God so that He can use you like Othniel in Israel to be the one in your family who arises in great courage with truth at your back and a refusal to bend and to bow to the culture that is shaking its fist at God saying, we don't want the word, we don't want truth, we want it our way, and it's time for God's people to arise in the Spirit and the power and the anointing of the living God and know Him close enough to be able to stand with squared shoulders and say, no, that's not the way it's going to be for me and my family. Amen. Can y'all receive it this morning? Amen. He's going to do it in you because you're becoming more like Christ. And there are some residual benefits of growing in the Spirit that I'm going to give us this morning. These are conditions that are going on in you and through you when you're growing in the Spirit. Y'all ready? Come on. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Here we go. Number one is simply this. For those of you following along in your message guide, here's number one. Number one, you have a real relationship with God's Spirit. Oh, that's what's going on. You have a real relationship with God's Spirit. We read it a few moments ago. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Church, hear me on this, and let's demystify the Holy Spirit for just a moment. God's Spirit is not a mystical being that you cannot identify with. He's the one who leads you, and He's the one who has adopted you into God's kingdom, giving you your brand new identity as a child of the living God. Sometimes people think that the Spirit is just merely the one who helps you to feel God or the one who inspires you in key moments. And He does those things for sure. I love it when God's Spirit touches me and He inspires me and I can feel Him. And I'm so glad that the Spirit of God is prevalent in our life. But He's more than the feels right now. He's more than just trying to get you a touch. He's not just coming and going in and out of moments of your life, church. Only in inspirational moments. No, He intends to have a relationship with you and be your guide and your leadership every step of the way, all throughout your life, each and every day. He's not somebody who just pops in and out and tries to bless you and give you a touch from time to time. No, He wants to be right by your side. We'll see this in just a moment. Jesus said this about the Spirit of God. He says, you know what? He dwells with you and He shall be in you. You can't escape Him in His presence. You can try to ignore Him, but He's always there. The Spirit is the reason why God can say truthfully in His word, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Because God's Spirit is right there. You're to have a real relationship with the Spirit of God. That's one of the residuals of knowing Him and growing in God. Do you have a relationship with the Spirit of God this morning? Amen. Number two, God's Spirit affirms my salvation. Did you realize that? God's Spirit affirms our salvation. Romans chapter 8 and 16 just says this. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want to read that carefully just one more time. Look closely. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Praise God. Did you know that one of the most prevalent lies that the enemy works against people is to get them to question their own status with the Lord? Oh, it's a very serious problem. If the enemy can get you questioning where you stand with God, then he's got you defeated. This world and your enemy would have you believe that your salvation is flimsy. It would have you believe that your salvation is wishy-washy and vulnerable, that you may or may not be saved or close to God, especially when you're battling something or some kind of temptation or when you're going through hard times. But hear me out on this, church. God's Spirit affirms your salvation. His Spirit is with you to remind you that the cross of Jesus is more powerful than all that. He bears witness inside of you. The Holy Spirit collaborates, the Bible says, works with your own human spirit to ensure you that what you believe about Jesus is his final and finished work in your life, and that his grace is bigger than what's going on around you in the world and in the culture. His grace is enough. Come on, somebody say it. His grace is enough. Amen. The Holy Spirit does that for us. It gives us the confidence of knowing. He gives us that assurance of knowing where we stand with God. Amen. Can you receive it this morning? One of my favorite attributes of having a relationship with the Spirit is number three. God's Spirit helps and comforts me. God's Spirit helps and comforts me. What a promise. John chapter 14 just says this, Jesus teaching about the promise of the Holy Spirit. He says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But look what the Lord said. But you know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The word translated helper in this particular scripture is such an interesting word, and you've probably heard this before. It's the word translated from paraclete. Paraclete. It means that the Spirit of God is one called alongside you to comfort you and to help you. Jesus said that you know him because he dwells with you and in you. And hear me out on this, church. Let's make sure this is happening in our life and we're growing in this area of the Spirit of God. If you will learn this when you're tempted and when you're battling and when you're broken and beat up and when you just know that you're vulnerable, it's in those times when the Spirit of God wants to step into your life and be a great help and comfort to you. And if you will slow your mind, if you'll just learn to breathe deeply and give him a moment to assure you in those times when you feel like you're about to be broken, God's Spirit will speak to you. God's Spirit will encourage you. God's Spirit will assure you that you belong to him, that he is your heavenly Father who loves you, and that his presence and his power and his provision in your life is all you're going to need. Praise God. He's there as a helper, one called alongside you to help. That means that when you feel like you're all alone, those are the times when God would have us to be disciplined enough to be hospitable to the presence of the Spirit of God and say, Lord, I realize that right now I feel like all of my friends have abandoned me. Nothing might be working out for me. I don't know where my family is. I feel all alone right now, but I know that your word says that you alone are faithful and that you will never leave me. You'll never forsake me. I can't hide from your love. There's no way I can escape from how much you love me. There's no height, there's no depth, there's no breadth, there's no width that can come in between you and the presence of the Holy Spirit, your heavenly Father who loves you. Can y'all receive it this morning? He's there to help you. It's in those times we say, Lord, I don't have help from anybody else. So I'm going to have you, Lord, to help me. Have any of y'all ever been there before? Have you ever been so desperate in your prayer that all you could say was, Lord, help me. Just help me. I've been there many, many times, and every time our God is faithful. I said, every time God is faithful. Come on. Praise God. Are you growing in this attribute with the Spirit of God? It's so important in the day in which we live. Next, look at number four. So vital today. These are all attributes and residual effects of having a relationship and growing in the Spirit. God's Spirit teaches me and reminds me of his word. God's Spirit teaches me and reminds me of his word. This is one of the things that should be going on in the life of the believer. John chapter 14. Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you." It's one of the primary responses of the Holy Spirit when we yield to him. He reminds you of what God's word says. He is teaching you. And right now is the time to make sure that we are learning from what he is teaching and not learning from what this world is teaching. Did y'all hear me on that? Right now, in this season, in this culture, in this era, right now, it has never been more vital for God's people to understand that we're to lean into the Word of God and lean into the Spirit of God and learn from him and be reminded of what his Word says, because you better believe it, church, that there is an agenda and a teaching and a big pedagogy going on right now to influence and to teach this culture and vulnerable people all kind of garbage. This world is teaching depravity right now. It's teaching and cultivating moral decay right now. It's manipulating precious people into corrupt philosophies and perversion right now. And that's why it's important for us to understand that God's Spirit is here, he's faithful, and he is teaching us and bringing to our remembrance what God's Word says about every issue that comes along. I was excited this week when I saw a video from a school board meeting in Virginia. And y'all seen some of the stuff that's going on, haven't you guys? The mayor of the town showed up to the school board to confront the school board about some of the books that they had authorized to be distributed in the school library in this elementary school. These books contained illicit details, pictures of deranged sexual lessons and indoctrination of kids to accept sexual immorality. They were geared toward little children. And this school board had given in to the wokesters and the people who want to push this kind of garbage on the kids today. And the mayor got fed up with it. Here's what happened. The mayor brought in the books and they recognized him to speak at the school board meeting. And here's what he said. He said, I just came from speaking with the judge and showing her these pornographic books that are in our library. And he looked at the board and he said, "You've got two choices. All of you resign from this board today or you'll be charged." Come on. That's good stuff. Standing up. Learning from God. It's an amazing thing. We need to be learning from him. By the way, when the Spirit teaches you and causes you to remember what Jesus said, it's in those moments where he'll give you a jolt of the word right when you need it. How many have experienced this? It's right when you don't know what to do or say. You might hear something that you just know in your spirit doesn't really align with the word of God, but you just know that your spirit don't bear witness with that thing. And the Holy Spirit will quicken you and you'll just say, "You know what? That's not the word. That doesn't agree with the word." Don't you love his word? And the Holy Spirit reminds you of the word of Jesus. And you'll be able to apply the words of Christ. This is something that should be going on. If you're assessing whether you're growing in the Spirit, these are things that need to be happening. You need to listen for him to lead you into the words of Christ. Amen. Praise God. He's teaching you. Look at number 5. I want to park here for just a moment. In 1 Corinthians 12, God's Spirit gives me spiritual gifts. Come on, everybody say gifts. He gives you spiritual gifts. Here's what the word says about that. And this is so vital that we learn this now, because I don't want anybody to ever feel like God has left you out of the distribution of gifts. He's describing the church, and here's what he's saying. Paul's saying there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, for the profit of all. If we jump to verse 11, here's what it says. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Come on, that's you. If you're born again this morning, God has spiritual gifts for you. I want you to see that today, because if you're going to grow in the Spirit, you need to desire his spiritual gifts in your life. Each one of us, if you're born again this morning, you have got spiritual and ministry giftings from God that he would have you to give to him and to use for the furtherance of his purposes in his kingdom. Everybody. Nobody is left out of the distribution of spiritual gifts. The King James Version says, he distributes severally as he wills to each one, everybody. I don't know what your spiritual and ministry giftings are, but I'll tell you this. If you're born again today, God's got a gift for you to use as a member of his body, because you are an inseparable and absolutely invaluable member of the body of Christ. And you are not just called to be along for the ride. You are gifted by God, anointed by God to serve and to use your great gifts to make a great difference and to help everybody else fulfill their great calling as part of the membership of the Lord. Can you receive it right now? This is an act of the Holy Spirit in your life. Oh, come on, if you're growing in him, it means you got a hunger, man. You got a hunger and a desire to be used of God in your great spiritual gifts. You're not left out. It's not just up to you to observe somebody else being used greatly for God. No, you can be used by God. Pastor, you don't know what I've done or what I've been through. You don't know who I am. Listen, I don't know anything that's more important than the truth that if you're born again and he saved you and given you a brand new life, he's got giftings for you to be used. Amen. It doesn't matter. Amen. He gives you a brand new life. Come on, somebody. Amen. Praise God. How many new lifers we got in here this morning? Aren't you glad you're saved right now? Finally today, I want to land right here and kind of get back to our Othniel story for just a moment. This is number 6 in your message guide. God's Spirit comes upon me and empowers me. I want you to say that one out loud with me if you don't mind. You ready? Come on. 1, 2, 3. God's Spirit comes upon me and empowers me. I put that in there specifically because I know through prayer and from talking to folks, I put that one in the message specifically this morning because I know for a fact there are people here and watching who have yet to realize that God wants to come upon you. You're still thinking that it's got to be somebody else. But I want you to be firm on this morning. God's Spirit will empower you. Not just the person sitting beside you or behind you or in front of you this morning. If you're born again today, the Lord will empower you primarily to be a great witness for him. That's what he said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, a scripture that you guys have heard me quote many times. This is Jesus explaining this same situation. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When I read that scripture, my mind goes to all of the stories in the Old Testament and all the stories in the New Testament where the Bible describes how the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody. I think about the story of Othniel that we read earlier. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he rose up in courage and went to battle with the king of Mesopotamia, and he won back Israel and established peace and rest in Israel for 40 years. I think about the time that the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody like Samson, who had his hair cut and had lost his power. But while he was in prison by the Philistines, the Bible says his hair started to grow back. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prayed, and he said, Lord, give me strength just one more time. And they tied him to the pillars, and when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he pulled those pillars together, and the Bible says that the death which he slew at his death were more than those that he slew with his life. Hear me now. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, when he comes upon you, somebody say, that's me. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What an amazing scripture. Because God's Spirit will come upon you. And Jesus said that the purpose of the Spirit coming upon you is so that you can be a bold witness for him. Pastor Brandon, why do I need the Spirit of the Lord to come upon me in order to be a witness? Well, because you can't just be a witness in your own flesh, in your own life, in your own heart. When you're going through tough times, he wants you to be a witness. When you're hurting, he wants you to be a witness. When people are coming against you, he wants you to be a witness. When you feel like you don't have enough, you still got a witness. Come on, somebody. When the world is crashing down on you, God said, you know what? I'm going to give you a resource that's going to enable you to be a witness even when your bank account is empty, even when your kids are in rebellion, even when garbage is going on all around you. I'm not leaving you alone. There's going to be a resource for you. The Spirit of God is going to come upon you and enable you and empower you to maintain your strong witness right in the face of all your adversity and your garbage and the things that's going on. I like to point out, that's when you're the greatest witness of all. When the people around you can see what all you're going through, and somehow, y'all hear me this morning, somehow she's able to maintain that integrity and that life and that hope, and that somehow he's able to stand up tall and strong and come forth with a good word, even though all hell's breaking loose in his life. Somehow, when she's been left all alone and abandoned, and her flesh in the world says, you know what, all you have going for you right now is discouragement, and you don't know anything about how your life is going to end up, Jesus said, you don't have to worry about that. I've got a resource for you that's going to enable you. And if you'll just listen to your resource of the Spirit of God, he's going to teach you and remind you of what the Word of God says, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. And you're going to rise up, and everybody that's doubting you, you're going to confess and say, you know what? The thing that's happening on the inside of me is more powerful than the world around me that's coming against me. It's not going to be because of you. It's going to be because of the Spirit of God coming upon you. Come on, somebody. Y'all receive it this morning? Here's what Jesus had to say about his experience with spiritual empowerment. This is Luke 4 and 18, but Jesus is really quoting and fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 61 and 1. Here's what he said. Oh, this is going to be a... He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because. Everybody say, because. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Praise God, praise God. We started this message this morning with the story of one man who did something amazing because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then Jesus turned around and said this about you and I. He said, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. And then he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because... Come on, everybody say, because. There's always a because attached to the Spirit of God coming upon you. I want you to take this home with you today. Did you know that if you are a believer right now, you are a candidate for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you? I said, you are a candidate for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you. Just remember that he always involves a because. It means that he's got a special assignment for you. In fact, that's really what the anointing really means. Being anointed, it really just means that, watch this. We're about to be through and pray, but watch this closely. Being anointed by the Spirit, it really just means that you have an appointment and the authorization from God to carry out a special duty or calling to accomplish something for God. Amen. The anointing. Or it's not some kind of special touch that comes and goes. In the Old Testament, it was demonstrated by the pouring of oil over a person's life. And it is always for the purpose of appointing them to something and authorizing them to do something and be something. I love the image of Aaron receiving his anointing from God to be the very first high priest. The Bible says that they poured the oil on his head and it ran down his face, ran down his beard and down his cloak, so that nobody could mistake the fact that he was special, that he had been appointed and authorized to serve the Lord as priest. There's another story in the book of Kings about a man by the name of Jehu who was called by God. He was a captain in the army. And the Lord told the prophet Elijah, go and anoint him as the new king. Because right now, our evil king and queen are forgetting the Lord and putting in evil Baal worship. And the little prophet fellow went into the camp and said, which one of you is Jehu? I've got a message from God. Come into the tent. And when they got into the tent, the little prophet took the flask of oil, dumped it on the captain's head, and said, I anoint you king. And when they went back out to the campfire, all the other captains said, what happened in there? And Jehu said, oh, nothing. He was afraid because they already had a king. And if he was going to do the special thing that God was calling him to do, he was going to have to arise with courage and be willing to do something that was going to cost him something. But all the other captains, they saw the anointing oil flowing off his face and they said, no. You went in one way and came out another way. What happened in there? All right, I've been anointed king. Y'all hear me this morning? Immediately, the Bible says they took their cloaks off, put it under his feet so that his feet wouldn't touch the ground. And they rose up and he jumped his chariot and rode into Jezreel and killed the king and queen and took over. Come on. And reestablished things for God in the land. God has got a great plan for you. Watch this, because you might be the one this morning, and we're going to pray. I'm going to ask God to touch everybody in here. Listen, we're not just talking about praying in tongues this morning. I'm talking about you receiving the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because you might be in here this morning. And you might be getting called of God for an outpouring and of his Spirit. And you can say something like this. You know what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I got a sister who's on the verge of suicide. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I've got kids that are bowing down to this culture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I've got sickness that the doctors say there's nothing to do about it. Are y'all watching this morning? I'm going to pray this morning that everybody in here will grow in the Spirit and understand that this is the level He wants to teach you, man. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to show you. He wants to remind you of the Word of God. He wants to help you. But I believe this with all of my heart. He wants to gift you with His gifts. But I also believe this morning that God's Spirit will just come upon you for His purposes in your life. These are the things, the ways we should be walking when we are growing in the Spirit, planted and growing in the Spirit of God, becoming more like Jesus, who must have been the most Spirit-filled man who ever lived. Amen, everybody. Y'all receive it today? Come on. Stand with me and let's begin to give God.